This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And good morning. We've got the full show today from 8 to 11. We are taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with some headlines. Well, Seahawks making a bunch of moves on the coaching front. First, they fired Mike Solari, the offensive line coach, promoted Andy Dickerson, who came over with Shane Waldron from the Rams. So you can see they're going with a different style of offensive linemen, you know, because one thing, Mike Solari likes them big and sturdy and all that stuff. I think there'll be a little bit more athleticism in the offensive line coming up next year. Then, of course, they were able to get Sean Deshay. He comes over as associate head coach. I kind of worried that maybe from the Seahawks standpoint, you know, he would end up going, you know, with Ed Donatell with Minnesota, but he did not. He's over here with Seattle now. And so, you know, they've got Carl Scott, they got Sean Deshay, so they have now completed, I think, for the most part, their coaching staff. We'll see if there's going to be any more moves. You never know. But and of course, they've not officially announced anything, so we're still kind of waiting for that. Super Bowl injury report. Well, Tyler Higbee, Rams tight end, goes on injured reserve, and so he's not going to be able to play. Same thing as Joe Noteboom, their best backup tackle. He goes on injured reserve, so he's going to be out for the game. The only thing on the injury report right now is C.J. Azuma, the tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, he's questionable, and of course, right now, he's trying to win the football game and play, because if he wins the football game, he's going to pull chili all over himself. You know, five-star chili or one of the chilies from Cincinnati. We'll see if that ends up happening, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, how are you feeling this fine Saturday
I'm
morning,
feeling better. Friend? Feeling better.
Good. You're sounding better, too.
Well, that's
you're
good.
Sounding much, good deal. But you always sound great, Mr. Clayton, when you're talking football. You know, you just was talking offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, didn't you think gone are the days of the 290-pound offensive lineman?
The what kind of offensive lineman?
The 290-pound offensive lineman.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's just, it's too small. Because, again, I mean, you look at the, you know, a lot of the defensive tackles, they're 320, 330. You know, you still have some, you know, bigger defensive ends. So, yeah, the 290-pounder is too light.
Yeah. Because you just said that the Hawks changed their offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you said they might do a little more athletic type.
Yeah, but, you know, Mike Solari likes those guys 330, 340.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More road grade as you like.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
right.
You know, now it's going to be more, you know, probably 320, 325, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. Well, those, you know, I'd say your ideal is particularly your guards.
Mm-hmm.
Your guards wouldn't you like your guards at about between 325, 330? Because dealing with some of the interior defensive linemen
mm-hmm.
that you have to deal with, You pretty much want your bulk right in the middle. I think that the tackles should be about 320.
Right.
Because they're dealing with the more athletic guy on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
As far as dealing with your defensive ends, they are very versatile. So you look at the defensive ends today. I mean, my God. I mean, those guys are pretty much 4'5", 4'6" guys on the outside.
Yeah.
Going against, you know, so your tackles to me have to be the more versatile guys.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to keep your bulk on the inside because quarterbacks don't like to get pressure right up in their face.
No, they don't.
No. I mean, you know, if I was just looking for offensive linemen, you know, right now, as far as the draft is concerned,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, like this upcoming draft, I don't think the quarterback crop is going to be as good as it you've seen in recent years. As
what?
Far as the draft is.
Yeah,
I don't see that coming. But let's talk about this game. You were talking about a couple of injuries. The tight end for the Bengals, that injury is key to me.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think he relieves a lot of pressure because he does a lot of things on the inside of in the middle of the field for the Bengals. And in fact, that's where he got hurt, trying to catch them all in the middle of the field. He got going on his greens. Yeah. So is he going to give it a go?
He's going to try to give it a go. I still question it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And again, that's a big blow to them because, you know, because of the protection that they need because the offensive line's so bad. You know, they need two, three tight ends. And he's the tight end that is the starter, but he's also one that can catch 4 to 6 passes a game. And so you take him out. I mean, you know, look what they've done during the playoffs. You know, they've used 2-3 tight ends just for extra protection for the quarterback, still gave up 9 sacks to the Tennessee Titans. And then, you know, here's, you know, their struggles as far as what they do. And so now, in fact, you look at Tyler Boyd, who's one of the best slot receivers in the league, caught 67 passes last year. He only has 10 catches in the playoffs, only 10. Yeah, because all the passes are going to, Chase and, you know, going to, T. Higgins.
Yeah. Because of, I think, the way that they're structured right now, you know, Mr. Clayton, it's just almost like a basketball game. When it comes down to the brass tacks, you go to the guys that you know that you're ready to count on right now.
Right.
Jamar Chase, believe it or not, you look at Jamar Chase as a rookie on there. I mean, he's a nightmare for any cornerback. I was talking to a friend of mine. He thinks Jalen Ramsey is going to shut him down. I don't see that with that guy. That guy is a trouble. He gives a quarterback a lot of problems. You look at the Kansas City game. Without the tight end in there, in that late second half, him and Joe Burrow was just putting it on him.
Right.
They just lived with it. You could double team him. You could do whatever you wanted to him. They were still getting that ball to him. So, as you look at the Rams is going to start with that pass rush. Cincinnati's problem, like you said earlier, is their offensive line. Can it hold up on the interior with Aaron Donald in there? That is the key to the trick.
That's going to be tough. Yeah, because also look at it is that they're not full staffed on the offensive line. Riley Reiff has been out since week 14. He's their left tackle. And so, you know, he's not going to be able to play because he's still on injured reserve. And they had to take Jonah Johnson and move him to left tackle. And he's given up 7 sacks this year. So, and then I don't even know the name of the right tackle. He's kind of a nobody. So it's like, so their 2 tackle situations is not good.
No, and then you look at who's on the outside as far as the Rams pass rush on the outside. You got Von Miller and you got Floyd on the outside.
Right.
Those guys need to create some havoc. I think that's where the Bengals is. If anything, they have to do tomorrow. They got to max protect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They got to max protect. They got to, you know, either Nixon, Joe Nixon, or Samaje Perine, they have to go in there and max protect. They're going to have to chip, bump, do whatever they got to do to keep them pass rushers off of Joe Burrow. Because it's going to be a long day if they can't do it.
Well, and they also got to run the ball. Because, I mean, you go back to the Tennessee game, they only had 18 running plays. And so he ends up getting sacked 9 times. And so then they ran the ball 28 times in the AFC Championship game. And, at least even though he was pressured 16 times, Burrow was only sacked once. And so you can see that they've got to do some, that, because one thing is with Joe Burrow, he gets rid of the ball in 2.68 seconds, which is really good.
Oh, very good. Very good. Now, you look at the Kansas City game. Now, he was only sacked once, but boy, he had some close calls.
Well, 16 pressures.
There you go. He had some close calls. He got it. He uses his athleticism to get out of those bombs and get away from them. And he uses his feet to get a couple of first downs.
Right.
And the thing is, with Aaron Donald and those boys, can you do that? I'll tell you another thing, though, Mr. Clayton, that they don't get much accolades for. On the defensive side of the ball, Cincinnati is not there too bad. They've held their own. You look at that game with the Kansas City Chiefs. What Kansas City scored in that second half?
Yeah, they hardly did anything.
Yeah, yeah. They took out Patrick. They took out Travis Kelce, and they took out the Cheetah. They got him off of their kilter, and Patrick Mahomes couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now this is a different animal. Now the tight end being out for the Rams is a problem too. Also,
no doubt.
Yes, I can roll coverage to Cooper Kupp and roll and double team and live with what I got to live with. Odell Beckham beats me. Oh well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the Bengals are a cover one, cover three team. And so
yep.
I don't think they're going to go cover one because, again, if you go man, I mean, Cooper Kupp's going to kill you. So you go cover three so you can at least have an extra guy over there as a double teamer on Cooper Kupp.
You've got to go cover three on him. You can't go man coverage on Cooper Kupp.
No,
won't get you alive. And Odell Beckham is starting to feel a little bit of his loins again. You know, he's starting to play a little better. So you can't go man on him. No, you got to roll some coverages. Sometimes you got to almost play zone and make them drop back and see what they do if they drop in that zone just to show them some different looks to get Matthew Stafford off his kilter.
Right, now, exactly.
What was paramount too, Mr. Clayton, stopping the run. If you can make the Rams get off the field in a matter of a couple of three and outs, you might have an opportunity to get after their defense. But like
right.
you said, what's paramount is running that ball with Joe Nixon and Samaje Perine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let Joe Burrow get hurt out there.
No.
Because Aaron Donald is not a joke.
No. No, but nobody can block him.
I've seen Lee Lyman like that. I've seen Reggie White. I've seen John Randall on the interior. I've seen guys back in the day like that. This guy is just different, Mr. Clayton.
He's unbelievable how good he is.
Oh, God. I mean, and he's a Pittsburgh guy, too, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah, went to Pitt.
He went to Pitt. I mean, that is just pretty remarkable. But the remaining hires in the NFL, the Houston Texans hiring Lovie Smith, what do you think?
It was the weird – again, it just shows – I'm happy for Lovie. I think he was a better choice than Josh McCown, but the way they handled it was just ridiculous. As of Saturday last week, he wasn't in the running. He wasn't even considered. And so all of a sudden, they say no to the Philadelphia defensive coordinator. They say no to Josh McCown, and then they hire him. It's like, that's ridiculous. I mean, if you wanted him, I mean, couldn't you put him in the mix earlier?
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. I'm happy for Lovie.
I am too.
But I don't think he's the best hire for that team. I think the Flores kid would have been better. Oh, they should have kept him.
Flores isn't getting a job.
Oh no, he's not gonna get a job.
No, he's not gonna get a job.
He would have been better. You know, or just coaching talent alone.
Yeah.
Just coaching. He would have been better. He
no
was
doubt.
The coach they had last year when they raided the team. People thought they never won a game. He won four games with that staff, with that team that he put in front of him. I thought he would have been better just to keep him and try to build around him and see what he could have done.
Agreed.
He played with a lot of emotion. Yeah, I think Lovie was just a desperate move.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. What do you think about the Saints hiring Dennis Allen?
I mean, it was inevitable. I mean, because they had 17 coaches on staff, and now Dennis Allen can just pick and choose who he wants to keep and who he wants to get rid of. I know they're interviewing offensive coordinators and stuff like that, which is kind of surprising me because I thought that Pete Carmichael would be the play caller, but now it doesn't look like it's going to be the case. So I don't know what's going on there. And then you look at the other changes that they might make, but overall they have to find obviously a defensive coordinator. So, but I think that it was inevitable that he was going to get the job. They just had to interview other people.
Yeah, you know, 100 with 9 coaches, you have about 130 positions you have to fill with all the total with staff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably best that they kept everything together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No doubt. Hey, JB, got to run.
Mr. Clayton, enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll talk next Saturday.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Michael Bumpus joining us at 1030. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great, John. Hey, congratulations to the Hall of Fame class of 2022.
Yeah, did you like it?
All those folks. Indeed. I mean, you know, of course, I want to highlight the Cliff Branch inclusion there. I mean, he made it finally into the Hall of Fame. I mean, albeit posthumously. I mean, he won 3 Super Bowl rings for the Oakland and L.A. Raiders. And you and I over the years have talked about all the great stats of Cliff Branch, and especially his productivity in the playoffs. Really remarkable, all those stats that he was able to accumulate. But some of the more human things I think that are kind of ignored is that, you know, his agent was Mark Davis, none other than Mark Davis, and his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And then, you know, maybe 4 years ago now, maybe 5, you know, they had those huge fires down in Sonoma. And back in the day, the Raiders had their training camp facilities in Santa Rosa. And Cliff Branch had a house out there. And unfortunately, the house burnt down. And the thing that he was able to get away with, he got his wallet, he got his keys to his car, and he got his 3 Super Bowl rings, and that's all he had left.
Wow.
And I know. And, you know, I never really talked much about that, but that's a sad story. But he just kept going on, and, you know, he seemed like such a great guy. Every time he gave an interview, every time he talked to the public and the fans, he was just so nice and so forthcoming, and I'm glad to see he finally got in.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's like, and remember, he made it as a senior. He wasn't in the regular class. I mean, he made it as a senior, which, of course, when you get to that level and the senior committee votes you and says, okay, you're our candidate, it's rare that we said no. And so it's like it was inevitable that once he got his name to the room, he was going to get in.
Right. I mean, we can argue about the stats and how he compares to Lynn Swann, but I'm not going to go there with you, John.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's surprising also the Hall of Fame class, no quarterbacks, which is interesting. How long has it been since?
What quarterbacks would qualify this year?
Well, that's it. I just kind of looked at the list. I go, oh, no quarterbacks.
There were none that even made the top 25.
Oh, I see. Okay.
None.
Okay.
So in other words, it's like, I mean, you can talk about the quarterbacks, but this wasn't a year where a quarterback was going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just thought it was just me looking at it going, okay, where's quarterbacks? But, okay, and then...
And by the way, the two disappointments I saw was the fact that a receiver didn't get in,
right.
And either DeMarcus Ware or Jared Allen didn't get in. And again, I'm not questioning the 5 that we picked. That's who we picked, and that's who's going in. But then you look at the receivers. I mean, you had Reggie Wayne, who's gained over 14,000 yards. You have Andre Johnson as a first ballot. He had over 14,000 yards. You have Torrey Holt. I mean, he was a great receiver for the Rams, and
sure.
Nobody made it into the final 5.
Those 3 are remarkable athletes,
yeah.
And they're amazing. I knew that Seymour was in the mix, but
yeah.
I was actually surprised to see that he made it. Were you surprised, John?
No, not at all. I mean, it's been being pushed for the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Because,
I mean, he finished up his career with the Raiders, and
right.
He was, oh, my God, he was a force of nature, that guy.
Yeah, he was.
So, John, who do you see for tomorrow? Who do you like?
I'm not making any pick. I mean, I've been saying this for 3 months. It's the most unpredictable season we've ever had. Right.
Okay, John.
And so it's like I'm not changing. I mean,
John.
I mean, you go to the divisional round, you see that it confirmed my reality. You know, with all the upsets. I mean, you saw last week with Cincinnati winning. I mean, did you anticipate Cincinnati and the Rams being in the Super Bowl? No.
Not the Rams.
Yeah.
I thought that Cincinnati could do a number on everyone, and they have. And I'm glad to see that they're in. And I like that Joe Burrow, and I like that team. And they beat us twice. So
yeah.
I've got to root for the Bengals because they also are a force of nature. And that kid, Joe Burrow, man, he's tough.
Mm-hmm.
He's been sacked so many times, and yet he just keeps getting up and throwing that ball all over the field. It's really marvelous to see. And I think that they're going to give the Rams all they can handle, John.
Oh yeah, I would agree. I'm saying it should be a great game. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't.
And I think it's they're going to be the hottest game for temperature to play in, and it's going to set a record. And that's going to be interesting to still witness that.
Well, again, I think it may be a degree off because they're talking about 83, 84, and back in 73 in Los Angeles, it was 84. So, it's not like it's going to blow away any record, but again, it is going to be really hot. And that probably plays against the Bengals.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I think that the L.A. team is probably a little more acclimated to that kind of weather, that kind of playing condition and whatnot. And, of course, they get to play in their home field, which I think that everybody's been pushing for, and I suppose that's another reason why I'm looking for rooting for the Bengals. One more thing, John, about the Washington Commanders. There's new allegations being put forth by some people that were different but somewhat similar to the allegations made from a previous investigation. I mean, where do we stand on that? I know Goodell came out and said, no, we're going to do our own investigation with a third party. But that's not good, John.
I'm not optimistic anything's going to happen. It just seems like they seem to be all combined and, not getting anything done. And Dan Snyder saying owners protect owners, and Roger Goodell protects the owners because he makes $63.9 million a year.
Well, okay. But I want to hear from you, John, before anyone else.
Yeah.
There is a distinguishing factor. There was the Jerry Richardson thing with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. And how is that different?
Well, the difference is that they encouraged him to sell the team. It wasn't like they forced him to sell a team. They encouraged him to sell a team. And, because he was so old and all that stuff, he decided to do it. That's the difference. Hey, I got to run.
Okay, John, take care.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike. Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good. How are you and Pat?
Good, good.
Good. I'm glad that you're feeling better, John.
Uh-huh.
So after tomorrow, maybe you can get a little rest, huh?
Probably not, but I hope. I need it.
Yeah.
No, I need it.
Yeah. Hey, John, I got something to tell you. I really think this game tomorrow, I think it's going to be a close game.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think it's going to be between 3 and 4 point swing over whoever wins, and I think it's going to be a good game.
I agree.
Because you got a lot of good players on both sides of the ball.
Uh-huh.
But I reckon you're going to stay home and watch it on the tube, huh?
I'd say I have no other choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was on a Buffalo radio station like I am every week, and they asked me, it's like, you're going to watch the pregame show? I says, no, I'll turn the game on at 3:30. It's like, why aren't you going to watch the pregame show? It's like, I have no desire to watch the pregame show. And it's like, you think about this. I've been to 45 Super Bowls, and I've only missed three last year, this year, and 1983. And so I'm in the press box, before the game. I don't see the pregame show.
Yeah.
I have no desire to watch it.
I don't care much for the pregame show either. Usually when I watch the game, my wife likes to watch the commercials. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, the commercials are going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. Halftime's going to be great.
Yeah, a lot of good music there. Hey, John, I've been looking and looking. Has the Steelers done anything, like any movement?
I mean... They promoted Terrell Austin as defensive coordinator. They're interviewing GM candidates, but I still think they'll stay with Omar Khan. But other than that, no. What can you do?
Yeah. Hey, John, I know you had a vote for the most valuable. If you don't mind, who did you vote for?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay. That was a wise choice.
Yeah, I mean, again, he had 39, and, Tom Brady had 10, Cooper Kupp had 1.
Yeah, he'd be stupid to leave Green Bay. He ought to stay put. As long as he's there, they'll win that division every year.
Oh, particularly with all the changes that are there with Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit.
No brainer for him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, grass is not always greener on the other side.
No, I mean, they'll go 6-0 in the division games, and then we'll see how they do in the other games.
Yeah. Well, John, I hope you enjoy the game tomorrow. You take care, John.
Okay, Mike. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bill in Linwood. Hey, Bill.
Well, hi, John. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, I have a prediction. I thought about that. I've been reading and I watch. It's so exciting for tomorrow, John. But I predict the Rams are going to win by around, 10 points or two touchdowns. Hmm. And here's why. But tell me if you agree with this. Okay, Nick Saban, Alabama coach, recently had a question asked to him, really interesting. I want to see if you agree. He was asked if his best Alabama team could beat in a head-to-head game like the worst NFL team. And his answer was no. He said, now maybe the skill positions, the college team could make a few good plays, but he said the down linemen and linebackers in the NFL, all, you know, on both sides of the ball, the linemen and linebackers are so far superior in the NFL with their size, strength, they've been coached up, and their technique. And so he said they would just get slaughtered by an NFL team because of that. Do you agree with that?
That I agree, yeah, 100%.
Okay, well, that's why I really think that L.A. Rams are, you know, a step ahead in with a down line, especially, of course, their defensive line. So I predict, a solid win by the Rams. And then I just think it comes down to, John, if there's a clean game with few turnovers or no turnovers, I think the Rams really have an advantage. And Cooper Kupp is just almost uncoverable. I watched him closely. And if they try to double-team him, then it's going to leave some other holes in there. So I just think it's going to be a tough thing.
I can see that.
That's my comment on that. But
yeah, I'm not making any predictions. But again, it's like, I can see your point. Because again, it's like, the Bengals' offensive line is horrible. Horrible. And they've got to find a way to stop, Aaron Donald. They got to worry about Von Miller and Leonard Floyd from the outside. You know, H.I. Robinson, can cause some problems. So you put all that together, and it's like that's where the danger is. And my guess is that, they'll move Aaron Donald around I don't even know the name of the tackle that's going to be playing right tackle, because they don't have Riley Reiff. He's on injured reserve. And so it's like, to me, that's going to be brutal.
Yes. I want to ask you, John, looking back, was Joe Theismann ever in a Super Bowl?
I think he was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was.
It seems like if you look at the cool factor, a cool, stylish player, there a lot of them are named Joe. Joe
right.
Namath, Montana, Joe Burrow, and maybe Joe Theismann. The only other one that's that was a gym was Jim McMahon, with the dark glasses the cool factor. So I admit that Joe Burrow has got an intangible ability, and he could cause some problems, but I just don't think it's quite his time yet.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things when I was at ESPN, I was always asked to do is to do the quarterback rankings, right? And, I always took the caution of a first or second year quarterback and wanted to see more before I, move them up. And this goes back even to 2008, when you had Joe Flacco and you had Matt Ryan. And I waited till like the third year before I started moving them up, toward the top 10 or above. And, I don't know if I was just right before I came down here for the show, I was looking at I was trying to look at some of the quarterback rankings. And how about this? Is that if you look at the NFL.com, they actually have Joe Burrow rated as the third best quarterback.
Gee.
I mean, that's pretty bold. But I'm telling you right now, what's going to be the fascinating thing about the AFC is the fact that you have so many good young quarterbacks. I mean, put Baker Mayfield aside, put Miles Davis aside, but you've got 9 quarterbacks, 26 years of age or under, all first-round picks, 7 of them were drafted in the top 10, and 6 have already been to the Pro Bowl. that's going to cause monster competition next year, because I always look at it as that once you get into the playoffs, it becomes tough because you have to take on a top quarterback in the playoffs. If you're in the AFC, you have to take a tough quarterback every week.
That's a good point. Yeah, and just quickly on quarterbacks, there was an article just a couple days ago. It ranked the all-time best college quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was most of the experts are saying that Marcus Mariota from Oregon was probably the all-time best. And then tied for second would be Kellen Moore, mm-hmm. Boise State, and your favorite Tim Tebow. Anyway, so just great. But
yeah, no, in college, I'll just put it this way. I laugh about that, but in college, yeah, I could agree because he was phenomenal in college.
Yeah, but yeah, and you've made the point before that it's different being a great college mm-hmm. quarterback and then translating that to the pros. It's a little different game.
Yes, obviously. Yeah, because I mean, you saw it with Kellen Moore. You certainly saw it with Tim Tebow, who was the. I mean, here he was. I thought he was one of the best college players I've seen and the worst quarterback I've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
Hey, got to run.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. I am fantastic. And remember, you must guard against fatigue. It won't do you any good to end up in the hospital.
No.
And they won't let you out for a day or two for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so get a plan. Get a sleep plan together for you.
Well, I slept about 7-8 hours last night, so that was good.
That's solid.
Nine hours the night before, so.
Anyway, but so quickly, here we go. 2022, the Irish recruited, they're ranked number 7. The Irish recruited players from 17 states, Mr. Clayton.
Well, now what happened to Notre Dame? Because, I mean, you always talk about how they're number 2, number 3. How'd they get down to number 7?
Well, because you had Texas A&M bought this year's recruiting.
Uh-huh.
Well, they had like
but
five.
But that's just one pick. I mean,
you got the players. This was a hangover from the previous coach to Marcus Freeman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, 17 states, 4 of the players are ranked in the top 10 at their position. So mm-hmm. It was a solid year for a first-year rookie coach to come in and take over the recruiting.
But it doesn't meet the Irish Mankey standards.
You're right. Next year, though, my goodness.
Well, next year is a next year. It's like you can't...
23, the Irish are ranked number 1 in recruiting. Freeman, the coach, is ranked number 1 as the top recruiter in the country. They've got a second coach who's ranked number 6 in the recruiters' rankings. They've got two five-star players,
mm-hmm.
and they have 7 four-star players with a total of 9. They're, you know, it's all good, Mr. Clayton.
Oh, okay.
But let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk football, NFL. I've listened to everybody going back and forth on all this stuff, and the thing that seemed to make the most sense to me is for those underdogs,
mm-hmm.
for David, so to speak, to beat Goliath, they've got to put the quarterback under the center. They've got to establish a run game.
Right.
They do have solid running backs, don't they, Mr. Clayton?
Joe Mixon is one of the better running backs in the league.
Right. They've got to not fall back into their typical pattern, which is the pass. You know,
mm-hmm.
and allow those ends and to get to them. They've got to run the game. I mean, they've got to run the ball. They've got to put Burrow under center, and then after they suck up the defense to the line to try and stop the run, he can do his magic with the passing.
Mm-hmm.
He's big enough. He's big enough. Tall enough. He doesn't. You know. He can take the ball under center and still pass effectively with a quick, you know, 3-step drop. Maybe not a 5.
Right.
He won't be able to do the 5 against that Rams monstrous defensive line and linebackers. But if they're forcing them to, because they can double team or even triple team Donaldson,
mm-hmm.
And leave the rest of the line to go one on one, and you know, hold their own if possible.
Makes sense.
And yeah. I think they'll win. Their receivers are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Burrow's,
mm-hmm.
you know, their passing game is solid. I think San Francisco sort of gave everybody the blueprint on how to handle the Rams. Didn't they beat them 3 out of 4 times this year? Or two out of three times?
Six straight times before the last game, yeah.
And their success was predicated on the run, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, so I think the same... Unless those coaches are crazy,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed to think they can put the Burrow back in, you know, deep to throw passes, and not attempt to establish the run, then mm-hmm. they'll lose. They will lose for sure. But I think they stand a chance.
There you go.
A good chance of winning if they can put him under center,
mm-hmm.
control the game
right.
that way, and keep L.A. off the field as much as possible. Because, you know, that quarterback for Los Angeles, he seems to have a knack for screwing things up at the wrong time, wouldn't you say?
He went to the Super Bowl.
Well, I know they're in the Super Bowl, but historically...
They won 12 games.
You know, well, okay. So he's having a special... We'll see. You know, okay. Like I said, if he rushes things,
and,
you know, potential is there for him. To just make that errant pass
mm-hmm.
or play.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, gotta run.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, go Irish!
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bob in Bellevue. Hey, Bob.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
All right. And I'm glad that you're feeling much better, you know, from last week and all that. All right, I got a question for you. What about Chris Carson? Is he, you know, is he going to be making it next year?
We don't know.
Is he going to be our running back?
I mean, you know, it depends on his neck. I mean, they say he will, but, you know, it's still a neck problem that he's had for a long time. So it's going to be a question mark. So we just have to see how that plays out.
See, because when I was reading about it, you know, and Pete Carroll called it a spot injury to the vertebrae.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's wear and tear, what it says.
Yeah.
There's nothing really medically they can do for the vertebrae if it starts to, you know, to crack like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
is that going to be the case for him? Is there, like, no... operations they could do, you know, like to stabilize
no.
that, because that's kind of a scary injury.
Yeah,
you know,
no operation, no. You just have to try to see if you get treatment and see if it can heal.
Now, another question I have
before
I make my Super Bowl prediction. I know you don't like predictions.
No, I like predictions. It's just I'm not predicting this year because it's been too unpredictable of a season.
True. Next year you will, though, right?
Yeah, next year, yeah.
Okay. I was reading about Russell Wilson, and it made my heart kind of jump out. Finally, we get some good news out of the national media. He says he wants to win 3 more Super Bowls with Seattle.
People. Mm-hmm.
Seattle, not Denver or any other state, with us.
Right.
How can he do that? Because I think he is capable of being a leader on this offense to guide us to a Super Bowl. But I know, as you know, he needs help.
Yeah, but I mean, he's already taken him to 2. So it's like mm-hmm. he's got the ability to do it. It's just that, you know, they've got to fix up the offensive line. You know, you can see that they made the change on the offensive line coach. They got to get better on defense. And, you know, they've got an easy schedule, so that's going to help them out. So, I mean, outside the NFC West. So it's like, they're totally capable of doing that. And again, next
I
year.
Agree.
And then, of course, I mean, how can they do 3? Got to give them a contract extension.
There you go. And do you think he's going to want the huge contract from – is that how it works? You know, like usually the second one will even be a little bit bigger or about the same?
Well, this will be the third. He's going on the fourth, the next one. He's making 30. He's making $35 million a year.
Do you think he's going to want 40 next? You know, the on his next contract?
No, I think he'll want 45-50.
Well, damn. Okay, because
I'll tell you the rationale on that is that you know, Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year deal, which really was like a little less than $40 million a year. But basically, the way it was structured, it was $40 million for the first five and then $50 million for the next five. And so, you know, somewhere in between there is what Russell Wilson can do. You know, and again, the fact that his contract's up after 2023, you know, that's the, you know, it might be able to come in a little bit less, but, you know, it's going to be above 45.
Do you think we're going to keep Bobby Wagner?
I hope they do. I hope
I
they
hope
do.
So too. All right, my prediction is this for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Listening to you guys, especially you, sir, you know, because you are the professor, and I'll go with what you say a lot. Cincinnati has a terrible offensive line. Donaldson has been hungry for a Super Bowl victory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting he's going to actually knock out Joe Burrow from the game, because he's going to get hit so many times, and they're going to have to bring in their second-string QB. L.A. wins it 25-7.
Wow. That's a big win. That's a
because look at their defense.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you stop that? Really, truthfully, the Seahawks did a decent job the last time we played them.
Yeah.
But there is no way they can stop Von Miller, Donaldson, and the other guy on the – and it's just like, how do you stop that? And then the receivers, you got your – you know, the LA's cornerbacks are really good.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. You know, there's really, I don't see Cincinnati, you know, Joe Burrow's good and all that, but man, he takes way too many hits.
It's not that he takes way too many hits. He gets too many hits because, again, they've got a bad offensive line in front of him.
I'm calling it 25-7, and I think that 7 is going to be a sympathy touchdown, so it's not a blowout.
Okay.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
All right, thanks, Bob. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.